When I was a little boy, one of my favorite things in the world were box turtles. I loved all different types of turtles, but the box turtle was particularly cool to me in my young brain because the bottom of the shell, called a plastron, is hinged and it closes entirely. I just thought that was cool. So it was like a box. They were hard to find in the wild. And so at the time, it was illegal to sell turtles in pet stores, unfortunately. At least box turtles was legal to sell them because of salmonella. There were all these restrictions.
Are you saying illegal?
Illegal.
Oh, okay.
But I found a loophole. There was a biology catalog that I think one of my teachers, either fifth or sixth grade teacher, gave me because I said I was really interested in, I was really tight with my biology teacher. I was a cool kid. In the catalog, they had all sorts of things. It was all kind of like biology class equipment, all different kinds of things that you would study in a classroom, in a science classroom, including turtles. Box turtles. So I would buy, I would save up money. I was mowing lawns. I would save up money for a box turtle. I think they were about $20. And I had quite a few that I would keep in a sandbox that I had turned into a little outdoor terrarium. I'd taken the sand out, of course. And one of them I named, because he was shelled in and he was a box turtle, he was so shelled in, I called him Sheldon.
And so you didn't name him after Sheldon Adelson.
No, I wasn't aware of who that was. I don't know if I knew any Sheldons at the time. And Sheldon, the turtle, escaped. And I later, and then the winter came and when everything thawed in the springtime, I found a Sheldon shell without Sheldon in it.
Well, maybe he rose.
What do you mean?
Rose from the dead. Maybe he's living a good afterlife in turtle heaven right now.
Oh, that's a nice
thought. Trying to turn things around.
Oh,
here.
Thanks. Okay, yeah, let's turn. I'll get on that train, that positivity train.
Choo choo.
And let's head off to the next station.
Life could be a dream. Life could be a dream.
You're listening to Life is Short. I am your turtle loving and a turtle murdering host, Justin Long.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
And with me, as always, is my turtle indifferent brother.
No, not true.
You like them.
I like turtles.
You do?
Yeah. I don't love cleaning the cage of ten small ones.
Right. He's referencing when he was stuck at the start of the pandemic. I'd rescued,
kidnapped
eight baby turtles that hadn't hatched on time, or so I thought. They were not able to get out of their nests, and so I took the liberty of digging up the nest and taking them for the winter, so they wouldn't.
I think the listeners are familiar.
They're
with
familiar.
This story.
Everyone knows this.
It's a stinky. It was a stinky experience.
Yeah, and
but they were cute to look at. I will say that
they really are cute. And some of those. Do you remember the ones I had with the box turtles? I had a bunch as a kid.
I like that. Those are cool. You don't both have like box turtles, yeah, but box they are cool. That shape is cool.
Yeah. And my first pet it was a turtle named Victor. That I would just sit on. I thought it was so cool that I felt like I domesticated him. He would just sit on the ground in our kitchen, and he had his own little corner, and he wouldn't move out of that corner. And then years later, I read that's what happens when they get a cold. They get colds from the drafts on the ground, and they don't really move after
that.
That's
sad.
I know. I didn't know enough. That's why let this be a lesson to parents. Like, you really have to educate yourselves before you have a pet like that for your kid, before your kid acquires a pet like that.
I just realized that this little story we're talking about is a double introduction.
Oh.
For our guest today.
Well, I know one.
There's two ways
connection.
In.
Really?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, I'm excited about the second one. Well, yeah. I think I know it.
Okay.
I know. Let me guess.
Okay.
So the first I'm guessing is my turtle that I was talking about, that I told that riveting story about, as I said, was named Sheldon.
Correct.
And our guest today played an iconic television character named Sheldon on the hit, the equally iconic show, Big Bang Theory. The iconic, the wonderful actor, Jim Parsons.
Jim Parsons.
Jim Parsons.
So it's not just Sheldon, though, is
the tie-in. Can I guess the second one?
Yes.
I was a precocious little, like, kind of nerdy kid.
Okay, you got there. Yes, that's exactly it.
Okay.
I thought you were going to stay on precocious. You were precocious.
Yeah.
But something else you had in common with the character of Sheldon on Big Bang Theory.
He's more into, like, this, not that I wasn't like that, but take back my comparison.
Like astrophysicist,
yeah.
Like that kind of stuff.
He was much smarter than me.
Of course.
Yeah, he was. That's why the character was so smart that he was not able to connect. You know, he wasn't able to make human connections. Or he did, but in a more, like, strained way. He was more kind of robotic.
Yes, the show and the character are so iconic that it led to a spinoff show called Young Sheldon. That's how iconic it was. Uh-huh. And that show is super successful now. So Jim Parsons is the narrator on that show,
sorry,
I believe.
If you hear this.
Yes, you're opening your bottle cap.
I love this canister so much. It's a canteen that, you know how in these canteen lids, sometimes they're hard to like kind of line up and screw on?
Uh-huh, not
this
that one.
This one, every time I put it on, just whoop, right on. It's the best.
It's good for the listeners too.
Yeah, well, they're loving this. And yeah, but Jim Parsons, he would probably like that. He would probably appreciate that.
Yes, he's moved on from the Big Bang.
Oh, he sure has.
But now he has a new movie out.
Spoiler alert.
It's called Spoiler Alert.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh.
you can give away the name of the movie. Go for it.
It's called Spoiler Alert, which is a difficult movie to talk about, not making jokes about. Spoiler Alert.
The title, yeah.
What happens. It's a hard title to talk about without joking about it.
Well, it's based on a
Spoiler Alert.
Okay. Stop. It's based on a book of the same name.
Spoiler Alert.
And it's about a...
Spoiler alert!
It's about a couple. It's about a gay couple who experience...
That's all you need to know.
Experience relationship and the ups and downs and...
Yeah, it's very moving. It is, I have to say, like, and it goes through... Before I saw it, I saw the trailer. And it was, you know, it starts as like a typical rom-com. And it's so well acted, but then it kind of goes into this very heartbreaking...
Spoiler alert.
Okay, that is a spoiler alert, actually.
Yeah.
But it's in the trailer, too. It's the guy, Michael Showalter directed it. He directed this movie, The Big Sick. So if you saw that movie, spoiler alert, with Zoe Kazan and
Kumail
Nanjiani.
Hopefully future friends. Both of them.
But hopefully I've reached out to the both.
But now let's hear from Jim Parsons, please.
Yes, another talented actor. Here he is, the multi-award winning, many Emmys to his name. Hey, I'm sure he'll get an EGOT one of these days, or at least an ego. He doesn't have an ego. Like
or a
that,
got.
Or a got.
He has
an E. The E winning... they're just incredible. He's just a fine gentleman and actor, Jim Parsons.
Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do-do-do-do-shaboom.
For all the shorties that want voluminous, fanned-out lashes, This ad is for you. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara creates corner-to-corner panoramic lash volume. Their tapered brush catches every single lash, even those pesky corner lashes. You know who you are, corner lashes. With the Panorama Mascara, you'll easily achieve that effortless, false lashes look. It's one of Christian's favorite looks. Plus, it lasts up to 24 hours and is clump and flake resistant. And just when you thought it couldn't get better, it does. The Panorama Mascara is a lot more affordable than other luxe mascaras. And honestly, it probably does a better job. It's affordable, but it's deceptive because it comes in a premium gold luxe packaging. So if you want a mascara that can do it all, volumize, lengthen, and stay put all day, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
Putting headphones on. Jim is wearing a, looks like a mohair sweater. He is a turtleneck.
Well, I don't know what it is, but it sheds awful.
It looks like it sheds. He looks like a chinchilla.
I got it on Ben. It's really a nightmare.
He's shedding, and he is plugging headphones in. He's in a hotel room. Why is it shedding?
I don't know.
What is it?
Well, it's funny. My husband ordered it, and he didn't like it. Todd ordered it, and didn't fit him well. It was too big on him.
Oh.
But he said, before I send it back, do you want it? To try it on. And I was like, I don't know if I really want it. And then I realized I had a suit to wear for tonight's premiere, but I didn't have anything for the day of press we've been doing.
Uh-huh.
And so it was an emergency sweater.
Oh.
And I actually liked it, but I had no idea it would do this.
It's been
in my water. It's on my pants. It's everywhere. Yeah.
It's a nice looking sweater, but of course
you'd want
it to, it doesn't matter if you're getting hairballs.
I've heard that if you put things like this in the freezer, that they don't shed anymore.
Oh.
Do you think that's true?
I don't
understand why that. Why would freezing this suddenly change the construction of it forever and it wouldn't shed anymore?
I would think it would shed more, perhaps. If it would mat down.
Or maybe for 30 minutes it would be frozen
and so you
in
thaw.
Place. And then,
yeah.
And then you thaw.
Is that part of the thing?
It falls off your body.
Yes. Then it tinkles. It just like cracks and slowly. Yeah. But that's got to be one of the bonuses.
Yes.
I never thought about that to being... To, for your partner,
in a gay relationship.
You get to share clothes. Yep. How great. Although I've been sharing, I'm in a heterosexual.
Not pants.
Oh, not pants because of the size difference.
We're different heights. Oh. Yeah. But wait, you share with your female companion.
With my female companion, if I'm too small for some, if I outgrow something, she's been wearing them. Mm-hmm. Which I love, which is...
If you outgrow something, how much are you growing?
I've been weirdly growing.
This is incredible.
I don't know why I gained... I went on this new regimen. I was playing... Jim, I had to play a cop.
And so I
decided to butch up a little bit.
Nice.
Yeah. And so I gained like 10 pounds. Like 10 pounds. And then it
like in the...
What?
In the arms and shoulders.
Yes,
and stuff.
I tried this. But then if you don't, as you may know, you're a slim guy, so you may not know this. But if you don't keep up, if you don't stay on top of it, then it kind of atrophies and it turns to. So now it's like unflattering 10 pounds. It was flattering. It was muscle at first.
I'm not happy either right now. I'm doing a play right now. And
oh, what play?
For the last, it's called A Man of No Importance.
Oh.
It's a musical, actually.
Oh, wow.
It's off Broadway. It's actually a tremendous experience.
I bet.
And that, I think that's part of the reason I became unable to kind of do any of my normal workout routine at some point, because I just didn't, all the energy was going there. And then we went into tech and previews.
Oh,
spending
man.
All of your time there.
Yes.
And then eating worse and worse and worse. And I was just like, no one in clothes, no one would ever know I've changed anything.
Right,
but
right.
If every time I go to get ready, even at the theater, I take off my shirt and I'm like, things have looked better. Luckily, no one's asking me to be naked these days. So,
well, it's funny. Well, this brings us to spoiler alert, your character also has body issues.
Yes.
I mean, is that something you normally can relate to? Or are you typically happy? You say you work out, you know, pretty consistently and you haven't been. Is that usually an issue?
No, I would not say I'm normally. It is, I would say, I mean, here we go off the deep end. I would say it's always been an issue for me. I feel like I've always been body conscious. I think because I didn't grow up athletic in any way. I didn't have any interest in sports. I had what I think would be termed a fear of the ball. Like I was always afraid of being hit by the ball.
Yes, I did too. I remember praying to God is when I believed in the Judeo-Christian form of a God. I would pray that it wouldn't come to me.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And you know, there was that coupled with the fact that I didn't, even at a younger age, I didn't, as a group of things that straight boys were doing, like not even just sports, but just hanging. Like I don't even know how young I was, but it wasn't that old that I had to be to go, I like talking to the girls more. Somehow they're talking about things I care more about.
Right.
So I didn't even have a social reason to want to be on a team with my fear of the ball, which is like, get away from me in general.
Everyone.
But so
the whole thing,
my point is that I wasn't necessarily doing anything, even though I was pretty much a tall, lean child all my life. It was never like a physique in any way. I remember my sister has two boys and one of them, the younger one, is very athletic. And I remember being at her house when, maybe he was 3 or 4. And we already knew he was very interested in athletics. He's just very physical. And he was shirtless, 3 or 4 year old, shirtless, rolling around on the ground. And I could see this kid's core at work, like the abs. Yes. Where I was like, see, this is the problem. This is genetic. Yeah. I never had that.
That little Hercules kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I was just like, he already knows by instinct how to come from the core. It's like, you're just born with it. You could be.
Yeah, 3 or 4.
Yeah. And anyway, so yeah,
so I've young Jim was off
of the body in that way.
Young Jim was off to the side. Were the other kids bully you for that? For not being? I remember.
No.
No.
Well, really? I mean, no. I do remember in third grade, I was close friends with this girl. Her name was Amy, and I remember walking on the playground with her one day during recess. And I've never forgotten this. And she said, "So my mother thinks you may be gay." And not only was it third grade, I was probably 7 years old. So this is like 1980. I mean, this was a very different world.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember how I, well, obviously I remember it because I've never forgotten it. And it's been 40 something years since then. But I remember how I felt. And there was part of me that knew that her mother was probably right. Even though I don't think I was having real sexual longings then. She was onto something too.
The fact that it made an impact, it was a moment of impact. It was something that you struggled with. There must have been, it must've been struggling with the truth in it. That's wild.
And sure. Yeah.
I wonder what possessed that girl to say that. I wonder if she was trying to be helpful or it was just a curiosity.
I think it's funny you say that because I really don't think so. And I think looking back, it was that I think maybe she wanted a boyfriend. I mean, whatever you want to call it, in elementary school.
A lover.
She wanted a lover.
Yeah, she was looking to take a lover.
Said, "You're barking up the wrong tree."
Yeah, sweetheart. We have to talk.
I think her mother was being helpful to her.
Maybe scratch him off the list. Yeah.
The thing I've never known, though, is, and I may never know, is that I wonder how her mother said it. Was it fact-based? Was there derision in it? Was it, you know, who knows?
Who knows?
She was still my friend and she still talked to me. So I assume her mother didn't say, stay away from him.
There must have been a lack of, certainly judgment, one would hope, I guess. But outside of Houston.
Well, my guess is that Amy was complaining that I wasn't. I didn't like her in that way.
I imagine in a suburb of Houston that it was particularly difficult to be gay at that time.
I guess it was.
Was that not your experience? Yeah.
I just wasn't dealing with it. When I did become older and of like dating age in high school, I don't know if it was just that I was so full of hormones or was I still fluid back then? I don't know. But like I had girlfriends and I had a really great girlfriend for a few years in high school or whatever. And so I know that the knowledge that I also had feelings for men were also there. I think that at some level I knew that my feelings for men in a physical sense and attraction ways were stronger than the ones for females. But it was not impossible for me to be in a female relationship, a male-female relationship in that way. And so I was able to really get by and not confront it until I was in college. And I actually stayed in Houston for college, but I was in more of like the central city at the University of Houston. And so by the time I came to terms with myself, I was in the theater there.
I
was in an area of town that had plenty of culture and gay bars and things like that. And so, there was some safety. I was still, it was not untormented and whatever, like it was still hard in its own way to deal with, but I had a real loving safety net around me at a certain level. I don't know. It's funny to look back on though.
I bet that moment too, that knowing it's because you were not sexualized yet at that age. I think back to my early experiences with being attracted to women and I couldn't understand where it was coming from. I just liked certain people. I liked certain teachers because of, certain physical things that I didn't draw the parallel to between that and sex. Sex didn't exist.
No, it's a really beautiful thing though when you break it down like that. In that, how early in life, again, like you say, not in a sexualized way, but like the beginnings of attraction. Are so early. You are just drawn to certain people and certain attributes or whatever. And it's really gorgeous that eventually as your body changes, that does develop more into a sexual thing. But like those initial things are kind of there from, I don't want to say day one, but like at some early point.
I think pretty early on, I see babies and I hate when people sexualize babies in that way. Not that they sexualize them, but they're like, "Oh, he's flirting with you." You know, when they're like, don't say that,
please.
But they do it a lot.
I know.
Maybe just a lot of babies flirt with me. I'm flattering myself, but parents often say that. And I'm like, it makes me feel a little, I cringe a little bit, but I have noticed as I'm sure many people listening, noticed that little infants will be drawn to certain things, you know, certain yes. faces and
it is, even though, again, not to sexualize it, but I don't know how you feel. There is something flattering about that tiny, yes. unformed, unverbalized right. human being who you can tell can't quit staring at you.
It may be insulting
ultimately. I don't know, but it's exactly right. It's like, no one told them to look at me and be fascinated with me. They can't quit staring at me.
No, I know.
It's very sweet.
There's no social reason. They said they certainly don't know about who you are as an actor. You know,
they're not looking for a selfie.
No, it's pure. There's something very pure about it. I'm always
I like it when dogs do it too, to be honest with you. Love it. This dog loves me. I don't know why.
Especially when they say, oh man, he never loves anyone. You know, it's like,
yes.
Well, I don't know what it is.
I've had a couple of those. I mean, yeah. Nothing more flattering. Yes. He's sitting on your lap. Jesus, he bites most people. I'm like, oh, I must smell right.
Yeah, I know. There's like a primal flattery. It's like somewhere deep down, it knows that I'm,
yeah.
I don't know what. Good. Would you like to have kids? Are you?
No.
No. Easy.
No, it's out of the question at this point. No, but I don't mind talking about it. Because I think it was interesting. I grew up, I realize now, at a conscious level, always thinking things like, oh, that'll be something I'll tell my kids one day, or that'll be something I'll show my kids one day. And I think I was just on kind of this rote idea that, like, well, that's what's going to happen. And no, and when Todd and I will, tomorrow is Todd's and mine 20th year together. We met in November of 2002.
Oh my God.
And so we were obviously much younger then. And the topic—
You were 10 years younger.
Then, we were 10 years younger, yeah. 20 years ago. the topic came up then, and we paid lip service to it and talked about it. I think it was so— my career especially was so infantile and, you know, unemployment check based at that point. It was easy to talk about it because it was never close to happening. And then life kept going. And at some point we both kind of had a moment out of the clouds going, oh, kids aren't happening. And we both were really okay with that. You know, I do feel that I'm exploring certain things that I'm hungry to. And partly it's because I put certain appetites aside to rein in, to hold onto the glory of what was that one particular job, you know. Not that I didn't do other things, and it's not that.
No, you were doing a lot. I understand.
It's just to have this time to really sink into something, and then time to go, let it settle, you know, not immediately go back to another job or have to go, when can I shoehorn this in or whatever. It's a different vibe, I'll say that.
Is it nice to be off that? I mean, that show afforded you the luxury to do really anything, anything creative. And are you exploring that now? Is that what doing something like, spoiler alert, like the play?
Yes.
Is that deliberate?
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Oh,
very, very much so. I'm really with deep, deep gratitude trying to, and I think that being grateful for that experience in part has to do with, like, I have this moment now where I can allow myself to wait for what's really speaks to me for whatever reason too, because that's something curious. Like, spoiler alert, I really wanted to play that character. I wanted to tell that story. The play I got approached by, and I didn't know the play and I had never seen the play, but the director is John Doyle. And I had seen stuff he had done in New York before and was just really wowed by it. And I knew I wanted to do it before I even read it, just because he was directing it. And I was like, I didn't think, especially because he does several musicals, I thought, I don't think I'll ever have a chance to work with him. And that was a new moment for me. I told him about it the other day. I was like, I'm in the process of expanding my list of reasons or gut reasons of why I want to do something. And like the idea of, I just want to work with that person, whatever we're going to journey on. That's a new territory for me, you know, because it speaks to a certain lack of concern of how will this turn out? What will this do for me? Little to none of that decision was in this process. It was like, I want to take a journey with that man and see what his process is like.
How cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And it has been. Yes. It's new territory. So in that way, that's my long answer to, that's something new for me. And I couldn't have done that before.
As a podcast listener, I'm sure you know that audio piques the imagination, like especially this show. So if you really want to feel like you're in the story, check out Audible's collection of brand new exclusive thrillers.
Their titles feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances. So you'll be kept on the edge of your seat.
Here's an interesting psychological thriller that is out right now. It's an Audible original. It's called Oracle. It follows an FBI psychic who can help solve missing person cases when he touches those close to the victims. But of course, it comes at a cost. He'll see the horrific moments before the victims disappeared.
Shorties, I just got chills. You have to listen along with me. You don't have to.
No.
But I think you should.
Yeah, it'd be fun. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/long or text long to 500-500. That's audible.com/long or text long to 500-500.
Hiring? Well, with Indeed, your search is over. Because you can get rid of the search and just match. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. That's because Indeed leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day. It's constantly learning from your preferences. Basically, the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/long. Just go to Indeed.com/long right now and support the show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/long. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom, and up we'll meet again.
Sally Field, what was it? I mean, if young Jim, what would you say to young Jim, who is maybe struggling with what am I going to do one day? And how do you say you'll work with Sally? How do you say that you'll work with Sally Field one day?
You don't say it with a straight face,
right?
And you don't expect the young one to understand, other than going, "Have you lost your goddamn mind?"
Yeah, yeah.
What's funny and fantastic about her is that none of that went away for myself or Ben. We've talked about it. We've talked about it in press. We've kind of revealed it as people have asked us about working with Sally, that both of us are like, oh God, I hope she likes me. I really hope she likes what I'm doing in the scene when she's looking me in the eye with her Sally Field eyes. And
just so present and real. And
so present.
Yeah.
And that is no joke. And that is unlike anybody else I've ever been on a set with, is like this tenacity, this rigor. She changes the energy, but not in a bad way. It's in a great way, actually. It reminds you, like, don't shirk your job to whatever. Like, well, what's one more shot? Just see it and say it and see and see how it works.
Yeah, you got to show up.
That's never going to work with her. She's like, no, what does it mean? What are we talking about? You know? Oh
my God. Wow. So the stakes don't get higher.
No, that is the best way to put it, actually. She doesn't play. There are no low stakes when she's bothering to come and take a role and come to the set, the stakes, she wants to play the high stakes. That being said, she is such a typical actor off the set. And one of the great things, well, not necessarily insecure, but
go right to insecure, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I'm sure, surely there's something, but no, it's just kind of like, she feels like one of the troupe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like there's nothing elevated about her offset behavior. She never went to her trailer. She prefers to get a chair as close to set as possible. She just has her dog in her lap.
No kidding.
Yeah. If you haven't read her biography that she wrote, it's one of the best actors' biographies I've ever written. There's a brutal honesty about it, but it's also so entertaining. I took a lot of inspiration in the section where she is torn about what she's doing on TV and she wants to do something else. And the mother superior takes her to the actor's studio or wherever. Uh-huh. And like this is all happening on the set of The Flying Nun. Uh-huh. And it's so fantastical, but there was elements that I think anybody could find and relate to. And And I don't know. I just told her. It was moving to me.
It makes sense. And was there a period? Was there a moment like that? I should say on Big Bang, because that character obviously is so iconic. But was there? And people are loving it. But is there a moment on that show where you think, I've had enough? I've kind of done it. I mean, I'm not doing the show.
I would tell you that. The summer between our final season and the one before that, I had come to New York, and it was a very traumatic summer as far as, well, this wasn't traumatic, but I was doing a Broadway show. It was Boys in the Band, which is pretty dark.
Yeah.
But
was the Mantella with Joe Mantella?
Mantella directed yes. So that part so was great. Heaven. But okay. But it was, you know, it was dark territory, but it was, that part was good because it was like there was something to really dig into and making self-discoveries and whatever. But then my dog died that summer, and then I broke my foot on stage that summer. It was just one thing after another.
Yeah.
And all those events, for whatever reason, really gave me a clarity that I was like, you know, this next season. Our contracts were ending anyway. I was 12 will be for me, you know, that's as much as I need to, you know. And I told, when I talked to Chuck Lorre and Steve, and I've talked about this before, I don't mean to repeat information for you, but but it was that, you know, my dad had passed away in a car accident when he was 52.
Oh my God.
I was going to be 46 at the end of that 12th season. And I said, really, it comes down to that for me. I'm not superstitious about it, but like I have somebody I was very close to who died at the age of 52. And if you told me I had six more years left at the age of 46, it's not that I don't love this, but I'm not going to spend another nine months doing another season. I don't know if I'll go backpacking or what, but I think I need to do something new for a minute.
Yeah. Time becomes so precious.
Yeah. You know, so. Sure.
Well, you can't argue with that. I mean, no one can say.
You can't argue with it. But it's funny, too, how to me it relates to, at least in theme wise, to spoiler alert in that way of like, there's nothing like traumatic experiences like that. And especially when you're talking about untimely death or whatever, that puts a perspective on life that it's so hard to get otherwise. You can meditate. You could take psychedelics. It's really hard to hold, to really get you kind of get a bird's eye view.
True.
COVID sort of did it for everybody.
There's a version of that in COVID. Yeah.
There's a version of it. But it is the golden silver lining of those really hard times in life that they allow you a view that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise. And
just immediate, like it's precious. It's clear. It's crystal clear. Oh God, I didn't know that, Jim, 52. And so you must've been a young man.
I was 28. I was 28. I was finishing grad school. I was moving to New York at that time. Yeah, it was very weird. I had a moment before I graduated. We were going to do our thesis projects, and I remember going home for the funeral, and it's just everything's happening. Like, time slowed down to such an insane degree that every hour was like a week. And I didn't know if I was going back to school. I didn't know if I was going to continue being an actor. I didn't know. And one little moment left to another, and I'll never forget, I was walking around my mother's yard in some way, maybe on the phone. And I had a moment of going, you're going back, you're going to do your showcase, and you're going to go see what happens. You're of greater help sticking to this plan than you are upending everything and going, well, I'll move back to Houston and be closer to the family now, because it's like, that's, you know.
Do you attribute that to him as something supernatural? I mean, I have chills.
I don't doubt that that was there. Yeah. I felt, you know, I'm someone who very much, it's interesting. I've done a couple of the televised mediums. I did the Long Island medium.
Oh, did you do?
And I did Tyler Henry.
Oh, mm-hmm. Man. I love him. And the Long Island medium was on the show. What was your experience? Was there anything?
Well, the one with the Long Island medium, I took my sister with me. Uh-huh. And while it was a very moving experience for me, my sister got a lot out of it.
Wow.
You know, she had two kids by that point that our father never met. She had been married. Man. He wasn't alive for the wedding.
Oh, man.
And so I think there was a lot. I think I, or maybe it's just the person she is. You know, it really felt like we were there in large part for her to get a reading, is how it ended up shaking out to me. And it was very moving. And then I did Tyler, and I enjoyed it very much, but I left there thinking, I'm not doing that again. Not because I don't love it, not because I don't have a certain belief that that's going on, but because, and this relates to what I'm thinking about, because what you said about my dad and Supernatural or whatever, I feel his presence so much. I feel his awareness of my life so much. I feel his own guiding hand so much in my life that I don't really, I think, save those conversations for people that need to hear something from the other side. And maybe someday that'll happen to me too. I have no idea. But for my relationship with my father, no, I feel his presence greatly.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I'm so glad. What a blessing. How soon after did you begin to feel him? Was it immediate? Were you guys always close?
What's funny is that we weren't extraordinarily close. What I realized later in life, and when I say that, here's what I mean. I knew that we didn't have tons in common. Now, he had a lot of music in him, like to play instruments. He ended up singing in a barbershop quartet much later in life or whatever. And so there were artistic yearnings that he had not been able to explore or didn't explore that I do have. I definitely get my sense of humor is much more from him than my mother. My mother has it's lovely, but it's a much more obvious sense of humor, and his was much more back-footed and a little dry.
She did the dad jokes, ironically.
Yes, essentially. Yeah. Yes. No, yes, it's true. He didn't do bad dad jokes. He did good dad jokes. And so I compliment myself by saying I have more of his. But I've realized that, you know, what I kind of termed as not being overly close was really that we didn't have maybe that much in common. But I never felt pressured by him, like I'm not masculine enough for his taste or he wishes I played sport. He never, ever put that on me. And that is something that I think did make us close, but only my adult self is able to see that.
Right.
I didn't see it at the time.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And yeah. So, but I felt like you asked about when he passed away in April of 2001. I finished school. We did our showcase and I moved to New York in November of 2001.
Oh man.
And it was pretty immediate. The first thing I noticed, and partly this is because New York's a grid, so it's a little bit easier to get around, but I am one of the worst dodo birds with directions you've ever met in your life. I got to New York. I got around like a demon. I just took to the subways and the streets. And I could just get anywhere. It was not a problem for me. And at the time, I remember saying, I was like, it is like Father put his spirit of direction in me. Oh, he's like, well, I won't be needing this anymore, but you could sure use it.
Yeah, I'll literally guide you.
Yeah.
When you were at the height then of you were experiencing success, mm-hmm. after having been, and we're running out of time, so I'm going to try to truncate this. You were in theater for a long time. And and when you did finally, that success was, everyone knows how astronomical it became. Were there moments where you thought, I wish you could see this? Or was that not even at play? Was that even?
No, for me, it was, I never doubted. I never doubted that he was seeing it. Wow. I had been fortunate enough to be able to give a couple of different acceptance speeches for that show, for awards or whatever. And the very last time that I was nominated for an Emmy for that show, and I was fortunate enough, I did get to speak, but I remember my mother had recently given me his old watch and I wore that. And it was the first time, and I was like, I have never thanked my father. And maybe the reason hadn't been clear enough to me, but I remember roughly what I said when I got up there, which was that he never discouraged me from exploring this career. And that in itself instills confidence, and the career itself is so predicated on sheer confidence at times. It just, I keep going, that was a huge gift.
That he didn't give you something you had to fight through, that another obstacle.
He was the one that encouraged my mother to let me pursue it in undergrad. He was the one that said, of course we should sign to help co-sign the loans for him to go to grad school when I wanted to go.
Wow.
His theory was, you know, why did we why did we put ourselves or put our children in a position to try and do these things if we're not going to let them try to do them? So let them try.
It's really beautiful.
Or me, you know.
Yeah. And what a nice thing to be able to say now publicly. I hope other people are listening to that.
Yeah, I really feel lucky about that. I do.
To pass that along. It's too many things. I would love to one day talk to you about the Old Globe. I love it there, Barry Adels. I wonder, because you got your MFA there. It's a great program, San Diego.
Oh, it's a great program and a great city to work in.
It really is. I love that theater. Was Barry Edelstein, was he a part of it?
No, Jack O'Brien was still the artistic director. Yeah.
Yeah. And your first on-camera job was Ed.
Yes.
I didn't.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. I didn't know this. How did I not know this?
No, it came up the other day about something. And I said, I worked with Julie Bowen and John Slattery in the one scene that I did. And we were out on some weird field and a couple of trailers. I mean, like, I couldn't have been further from a TV set or anything I knew.
We shot up
in the wilderness.
In New Jersey, upstate New Jersey. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How funny. That's odd, because I remember sometimes there were people who, very prominent, you know, day players or whatever, who would come in and people wouldn't know. I remember seeing Cure Delay there from 2001, A Space Odyssey. Cure was playing a judge and, you know, the actors were like, oh, I think he's playing this part. Nobody. So I know it happened before you had reached your success,
you certainly. Well, I'll tell you what's remarkable. And this is really to the credit of Julie and John both, was that once I was doing my own show and we had plenty of people on who, if I didn't have a scene with them, even in a sitcom where you're going to film it all at once at some point, I would sometimes never be in the same room with them except for a table read. And I realized it took me back. I knew at the time sort of, but I realized at a much deeper level how gracious both Julie and John were with me. Complimentary, supportive. Julie let me hang out in her trailer with her, which that was the part I was looking back and going, I would have never, ever let anyone guest star on our show hang out in my trailer with me all day. But she did.
She's there too. I love them. It was a fun group too. It's a good lesson too. It's a good, and you're so good. Well, lastly, you're so good at physical comedy. One of my favorite aspects of watching you on that show was because I miss physical comedy incorporated into stuff now. And have you ever thought about playing an old physical comedian like Buster Keaton? You have such a Buster Keaton look.
Face for him.
You do.
I'm new to him. I mean, I wasn't a fan growing up. And it's funny when you talk about it, it's taken me a long time to understand that I am a physical actor. And it's because, kind of going back full circle to our conversation, because I didn't play sports, because I considered myself not in the realm with the other guys, the idea that I was some sort of a physical anything didn't make any sense to me. And I'm telling you, it was into my 30s, into 40s before I finally heard it enough to go, well, they can't all be wrong. So there's something physical about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Even now though I can say, I'm like, I consider it yes, but even though that's still like, it's just my own brain, because I'm like, well, it's just that I have a very unique way of moving, and I do tend to use every appendage on my body.
Well, you're also like we were talking about Sally Field, you have a presence. I think that's the thing that theater really gives you, or may perhaps has given you, is that you are invested wholly. I've seen a lot of actors work with just their, you know, they cut off the rest of their body when they're working.
Yeah.
And would you, and my brother wants to know, I'm going to blame him, would you consider doing old Sheldon in 30 years?
At this point, hell no. In 30 years, maybe.
Yeah.
You'll have to ask me then, depending on how nice the beach is I'm living on.
Yeah.
If it's how delicious the Mai Tai is, I might come back.
Right.
No, it's so funny. I'm not kidding. I really think life, God willing, another theme of our story, God willing, life is long. You know, it's not that I don't trust the way I feel now. I said to somebody recently, it's the reason I never reread interviews or anything like that, because I'm like, I didn't want to be saddled with the opinion I had on some random September in 2002.
Oh God, I know.
You know.
I know how much I've changed. I know it's cringy. The few times I have dipped back in with those things, I think, that's not me.
What?
I know. Yeah. I know. I think I did a lot to please people. A lot of things I thought sounded good or wanted to, you know.
Me both.
Yeah.
I think that in this industry, that's a lifelong struggle. Mm-hmm. Or for some of us, you know, I grew up wanting to be a good kid. I grew up wanting to be a good student. And And there's a difference between being a good person and selling yourself out in any way to make sure other people are happy with what's going on.
Jim, you know? Yeah, talk to my therapist. This has been a struggle. And speaking of people who, oh God, just made me so happy. Your production company you mentioned with Todd produces Call Me Cat. And I know we're all, I talked to Max. I met Leslie Jordan through our friend Max, who was in the Doris movie with Sally Field, weirdly.
God, yes, of course.
Yeah, but Max and I called him and I said, thank you so much for introducing me, because I would not have known him. And so many people knew him through Instagram. But I think every time I say now, oh, shit, well, shit. It's in my vernacular now. Well, shit. Yeah. What are your memories of Leslie, working with Leslie?
Oh, God. Well, we pitched, it ended up happening. One of the most times I worked with him was after Cat was on the air. We pitched during the pandemic a big special geared around Leslie.
Yes.
Kind of birthed off of his Instagram and all that stuff.
Yes, he had, yes.
Yeah. And so that was where I really spent more time with him. And I just, he was so kind. Yeah. He was devilishly funny and he was so beautifully self-deprecating, but he really had a way of making you feel loved is not too strong a word.
Yeah,
it was just, that's what he did. And effortlessly, or seemingly effortlessly. I mean, he may have prayed every morning to make sure he could do that for people. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody didn't feel that way. And what's funny is it's one of the few cases where I feel like if you knew Leslie in person or if you only knew him from Instagram, you didn't have a totally dissimilar experience.
Totally. Yes, it's true.
I've never seen more people grieving from afar like that, that seemed not at all inauthentic. It just was like, what you were getting was essentially what you would have gotten in person.
It's true. I got to see him in Tennessee and have lunch with him and meet his sister and all that. And it's, I think that's what really drew people to him on social media, because there was a purity to what he was doing. He was just, it was like he was looking at you and telling these great stories about me.
Yes.
And, you know, I really cherish my time with him, but I think everyone does.
I think you'd have to be blind and whatever, not to
original too. And and similarly, you know, we talked about him, his struggles or kind of lack thereof. I was surprised that he didn't have this. I haven't grown up a straight white male. I assume that you know, there is an inherent struggle in growing up gay in the South. And you know, it's similar. Leslie was like, to his credit, you know, I mean, he was, it wasn't necessarily that. It was from different things, but.
And maybe they were indirectly related, you know, from your own internalized shame or whatever. But I kind of identify with that too. I was very well loved as a child, even though that did not mean I wasn't scared of my family and people finding out that I was gay or whatever. But at the same time, I did grow up with a lot of love around me.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. But it's interesting. It still manages to rear its head somehow.
Yeah. I bet.
And I think I have to think from talking with him and stuff, that was part of it for Leslie. You know.
Yeah.
Figuring his way forward with all that. But
I'm going to miss the dark stories, the ones he couldn't put on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, he was a naughty bird.
Yeah. Life could be a dream, sweetheart. Do, 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 shaboom.
Want to hear a really satisfying sound? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. With Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts, you can start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. I've been loving learning Spanish because I love traveling to Spanish-speaking countries, and I just want to be better at communicating with the people. I love the people there, and I want to be able to get to know them better. I also love the food, so I'd like to be better at ordering food so I don't order the wrong thing. They teach you very practical, real-world language skills. And here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/long. Get 55% off at babbel.com/long, spelled BABBEL.com/long. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If you run an e-commerce business, you know the amount of work it takes to produce something great.
So if you want to optimize your workflow and reduce costs, ShipStation is the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates wherever you sell online.
ShipStation's simple dashboard makes managing orders, smooth label printing, reporting, and customer service unbelievably easy.
With shipping configurations automatically applied, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online.
Plus, save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off UPS, DHL Express, and USPS rates. Over 130,000 companies have grown their e-commerce businesses with ShipStation.
ShipStation is the innovative tool that helps turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth.
Go to ShipStation.com and use code LONG to sign up for your free 60-day trial.
That's ShipStation.com, code LONG.
Hello, hello again. Shaboom and up, we'll meet again.
We have a quick, I know you have to go. We have a quick lightning round if you'll indulge.
Oh, love it.
What is your go-to emoji? Jim Parsons taking a swig of water.
The red heart.
Oh, yeah. Classic for a reason. Who was your first celebrity crush?
That's really hard. You really just stumped me.
Yeah.
Who was my first celebrity crush?
It seems so easy.
I want to say, look, this. And there may be others too, but I can tell you right now, Kirk Cameron.
Yes.
On Growing Pains.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
It was very cute.
Yeah. He would, I'm sure he'd be flattered.
He did it for a lot of people.
I think. I bet. Yeah. Yes. Well, it's your favorite. What do people say to you when they approach you? I bet you must get, it must be every day. That show is so massive. What do you typically get? What is a typical interaction with you moving through the world? Somebody, hey, you're the.
It varies, but the most repetitive thing, and I always find it so funny because it's 99 times out of 100, they don't actually mean it. They just, it's a way in. They say, you look like the guy who played Sheldon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yes. And I used to always jump in and help them, like, yes, that's me. And now I'm like, let's see what happens.
Yeah. Like, yes. This should be on you. You have to do the work. Sorry.
You have to do the work. There's plenty of, they're all lovely. But that's the one that always cracks me up. I know. I get it to a degree. Cause it's
me
like,
too.
I could see myself fumbling if I wanted to talk to somebody who was like, I don't know if they really want me to come up or whatever.
Well, you know, what's odd, Jim, is I find sometimes that doesn't necessarily lead to, so are you? Cause I'll say, oh, you look like, you know, so, and I'll say, I know.
I know.
That's a good one. Yeah. No, I know.
And that's the end of it?
Yes, often.
Oh.
And I'll go back to, it's, man, it is uncanny. I go, I know.
Oh, I'm gonna bring people, out the old, I know, next time.
Or,
I know.
I know. Or do people ever tell you look just like that? And I'll say, yes, I hear it a lot.
They do.
They do. Yes. What is your favorite ice cream flavor?
Vanilla.
Okay. Yes.
I love it.
Isn't it funny that it's a very rare answer? And whenever I hear it, I think, yeah, why not? And whenever I have good vanilla, I think there's a reason it's a classic.
I think two things about it. Number one, I just like vanilla alone.
Mm-hmm.
But the other reason is that name a cereal that can't go with it. Name a cookie that can't be dipped in it.
You're right.
I mean, so.
You're right.
It's like a Ritz cracker. Everything tastes better sitting on a Ritz. Everything is better with vanilla
ice cream. It's true. What is your favorite holiday? Oh. Now I'm thinking of Thanksgiving because I'd want to put vanilla ice cream on a pumpkin pie.
I mean, look, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
The December holidays.
You don't have to be so Christmas. Defeated about it.
I just feel, I feel so tired by all the holidays lately.
I know.
I don't know what that
is. A little grinchy. Well, it's been overtaken by, just because corporate America is just so, there's such a tidal wave. It's such we such a consumer culture that.
The pressure to make them all good
I know.
And special.
I know.
It's like, it's why many people don't go out on New Year's Eve, myself included. Yeah. Like, no.
Too much pressure.
That's an idiot's night out. Good luck to all of you. Yes. I'm just going to go out on the second or the whatever.
The scary thing for me, because I've always avoided New York specifically on New Year's Eve, but going out, and I know you live in New York, but the Santa cons, those crazy drunken guys now. I remember about 10 years ago, I started seeing it sporadically. You know, there are a couple here and there in the subways, and now it's just like an invasion. It's like a zombie.
No, it is. It's shocking. Yes. And I will tell you honestly, in the years of dealing with it, I have never had personally, knock on wood, I've never had a negative encounter with it. But I feel tense the entire time I'm walking around.
Oh,
I
mean, Jim, you
there can't be that many drunk people in red and white. Then it's going to be safe. Like I said, so far it has been for me. But
I'm glad because you are a target. You are a moving.
Every human is in that.
I know, but you're on the. I mean, sorry, you're on the biggest. You're too recognizable to the drunken Santa crowd. What is an acclaimed movie that you're embarrassed to admit you haven't seen? I've never seen Steel Magnolias. Don't tell Sally. Was she in that? Yes.
I've never seen Call Me By Your Name.
Okay. I have.
I think some people would ask me to trade in my gay card. Yes. If I had one. Yes. I've never seen it.
Has Todd seen it? You should.
Todd has seen it.
Okay. Yeah. What is a game show, past or present, that you'd want to be a contestant on? I know you've done a bunch of game
Price
shows.
Price is Right.
Oh, okay. You think you'd be good at
Always it. Always the best one, but largely for the theme song. I also like that it went on for an hour. I mean, what? It was just like...
Just guessing prices.
Oh, God. There was something about it.
What did you say? Is,
dun, 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 dun,
yeah, oh, it's
dun,
great.
Dun, 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 dun. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. It's both annoying and joyous.
Yes.
What was a show when you'd stay home from school when you were sick? What did you used to like to watch?
It's funny because it's the same show that I also later in life liked to watch when I was late at night on reruns, like Nick at Night and stuff. But somehow I was watching Mary Tyler Moore Show reruns when I'd be sick. Uh-huh. That was how I first came upon it. I remember, this is so weird, I had been vaccinated for it, but I had the mumps. Uh-huh. And I remember being home with the mumps watching Mary Tyler Moore. It's such an odd memory.
Yeah, no.
A little black and white TV in my bedroom, right by my bed.
Yeah, so, isn't that funny? Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. And you still have that TV, still watch TV.
I wish. Do you know I've gone on eBay and things looking for those? Like, I want one that works.
I know.
I want to degrade in that way.
I know. Why is that? It's comforting. Why are those things comforting?
It is. Because there's nothing, you can't hang your email on it or whatever.
Yeah,
it's just you and them.
Turn the knob. Dun, dun, dun. I remember that
sound.
Move
your antenna.
I know. We were just talking about it the other day, but things worked. It's funny. We were trying to watch a football game. We turn it on and you wait for the thing to load. And then it's you don't have to think. Back in the day, you turn it on. Yeah.
You turn it on. You may have to spank the TV a couple of times to get the lines to go away. Why were we hitting appliances to get a better picture?
No, but it was better than the thing now. Yeah. You've been listening to two angry boomers. We'll be right back. Do you drink coffee or tea? And if so, how do you take it?
Coffee. And what's funny is I take coffee in the morning. I take it black. But then I have another cup always in the afternoon. And I take it with, Coffee Mate and Splenda.
Okay. Wow.
Chemical dream. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, best of luck with all
that. Good luck to you and your colon.
Yes. What is your, speaking of your colon, what is your favorite cereal?
Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, that one was easy for you, which is funny.
I think about it a lot. Yes. I know that's weird.
You still
eat it? I
was
just talking about it yesterday.
Yeah.
No, I never allow myself to eat it. Uh-huh. I remember this was years ago. Was, or at some point though, in LA, I was an adult. And I remember I pulled the same thing where I would get a box of Fruity Pebbles and a carton of milk.
Huh.
And I would sit there after dinner. And I would eat the whole thing.
Oh,
I just
man,
keep emptying into the bowl until it was gone. Yeah.
Well, do you like weed? Do you get into?
No. Yeah. When I was an undergrad, for a couple of years, we were major. We were like wake and bake.
Yeah.
And then at some point it turned on me and I was like, I can't handle the paranoia.
Yeah. Don't. If you're going to dip back in, don't do it around SantaCon. But it does.
Fruity Pebbles go well with the weed.
I'm shooting in Vancouver now. There's a shop off of Robson. It's called like Gank or Whack or something. I forget what, but it's in Vancouver and they sell, I think it's a front for something because I never see anybody in there. And there are like little boxes of cereal that I have, I long since forgotten, like Count Chocula, and but oh, more rare ones, like the, yeah, you would love it, but it's as if it's a museum, you know, and they're on display.
Yeah,
and they're all wildly overpriced, but I thought about anyway, I don't know why I mentioned that, but they do exist, though, Fruity Pebbles. If you had to choose a different first name, Jim is a of course a fine name, sturdy name, but if you had to choose a different one.
The only one that's coming to mind is what was the alternate for me before I came out as James. They were thought about Matthew.
Oh, very, yeah. The Gospels.
Biblical again.
Biblical, yeah. Matthew Parsons. If you had a sandwich, do you think about going with James? James Parsons?
I did not think about doing that. It's funny, I had a lot of directors when I was first starting out, especially in theater, that would call me James. And I think it was frequently because they worked with also older actors than me that went by Jim. I think it was a way to differentiate, but I never asked to go by James. And it's not that I was overly necessarily thrilled with Jim, but I just also, James never felt
like
it just never felt right.
Didn't
either.
Stick. If you had a sandwich named after you, the Jim Parsons sandwich at like Canner's Deli, what would be on it? What would it be comprised of?
God. Oh my God. Well, Williamstown. I really like, there was this place, which this makes no sense because it was an Italian sub, but I would want an Italian sub because that's my favorite, like with all the different flavors of the meats and salamis and hams and like an olive tapenade type thing in it.
Yes.
And, or like, there's like this, I think it's called chow chow. I don't know, like any sort of pickled relish like that. Huh. I love that on a sandwich and some oil and vinegar.
Yeah. On an Italian, like a baguette, like an Italian grinder.
Yeah. I remember there was a place in Houston, they had a sandwich called the Paisano. And I just adored it. Yeah.
Paisano. Do you go back to Houston often?
Every once in a while. It's funny, the pandemic hit. That's funny. Yeah. No, but the pandemic hit about 6 months, a little less than a year after after our TV show had wrapped.
Right.
And one of the things I had looked forward to was not being booked in the same way so that I could make visits down. And this kind of goes to the holiday conversation. I was like, I only go for holidays or special occasions. And so there's always this added pressure. And if I could just go for a random long weekend and we could just kind of hang out and go get something
May
to eat,
7th.
Then I'll go home. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I had two jobs back to back right after the show wrapped, and then the pandemic happened. Mm. And it's like, it has never kicked back in the same way.
Well, that's the beauty of the time.
At some point, it's time to look in the mirror, and go, well, maybe you don't want to go on May 7th.
It's right.
I don't know.
Or lie down and talk about it. Would you rather take a time machine to the past or the future?
Well, look, I'm going to give you an answer that chooses, but my first thought is neither.
That's an answer.
The only thing, I know, but I do have a fantasy, like the idea of, this is so self-involved, but I do have the idea, I would love to get to go back and do some of the plays or auditions I did in like junior high and high school, knowing what I know now.
Yes, I'm my God,
why was I so afraid to act? So afraid to be honest on stage? What was that? It was a lot of things, and I know that, but...
Well, you talk about it at the same time as you talk about the last thing you would, a lot of it too is like the confidence that we talked about. I mean, just having the confidence now to go back.
I'm worth being up here. I'm worth listening to. Or whatever.
I know. Very quickly, a Tom Hanks movie that if you were to keep one, if you could just keep one Tom Hanks movie, which one would you keep for the rest of time?
Big.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forrest Gump is an easy call too, but Big was so magical to me when
I
saw
it. Have you seen it since you were little?
No, I haven't. I mean, maybe a little bit off and on, but not the whole thing.
I strongly recommend
it. It's worth it.
It's so great. You get to see the real work that he does with that character.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of like took a lot of that for granted. Like, yeah, he's acting young, but it's specific stuff. It's so good. It's really...
It's so funny how that happens too. Like, and not that Tom Hanks hasn't been completely lauded in his career.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's aware that people like him.
I know.
But
he doesn't get enough credit.
He was one of the people that brings an everyman to life in a way that sometimes gets overlooked with other actors. Like they don't have a weird limp or I don't even know what to say. I'm just some sort of thing that makes you go, that's acting.
I know.
And he was just so much heart and charm he brought to things and brings to things, brings to them.
He's still with us. I think
his big is so old. Yeah. check your Twitter feed.
Yes. God.
Oh, no, but that's a really good point. Yeah. And you're right. I'm sure I would feel that way if I went back and watched that.
And, like, and these longer takes that are, you know, I mean, just knowing more about the technical side, it's like, it's amazing that he's doing that in that coverage. And
it's Elizabeth Perkins.
Yes. In, right. Is she great? God.
And their stuff together. I mean, and her trying to get this, who doesn't know as a kid, to like, come on to her.
I know. Everyone's, really? The child of the kid actors are so good.
Yes. Oh, God.
His Mercedes Rule, the mom. Is
that's right.
Phenomenal. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. So good. Anyway, I know you have a lot to do. You can't watch Big. Toilet roll over or under, Jim? What do you prefer?
Oh, over. Yeah. What are you grabbing at if it's under?
I know.
Well, I need to see it. I've never understood. My husband's family and him, because of that default, he puts it, it does it under.
The speed wax.
Switch it.
That's Oh, they really?
Oh, I just switch it. I'm like, I'm not even going to play this game.
Do you switch it at the Speewax home?
No, I don't think I've done that.
Okay.
That seems a little forward, doesn't it? Yes, I don't have to live there. Yes. If I poop there at the random time, that's fine.
Right. Probably try to avoid that anyway. And if you would, Jim, finish this sentence for us. Life is short, so...
Do what you love?
Right.
Oh, God.
No! Are you doubting it?
It came to me immediately. No, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt the sentiment. I just feel like I've heard it a lot. And so I'm like, can you say something more original? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
the truth may hurt, but it's easier.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it's true. And I've so enjoyed this. What a wonderful time for me to pass.
Thank you. Me too.
Yeah, really. And best of luck with the movie. It's phenomenal.
Thank you.
I know you're doing a lot of press for it. So wishing you the best.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Thanks for taking the time. I know we went a little over.
You're very welcome. I don't mind at all. I loved it.
This was fun for me too. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Justin.
Best of luck with the rest.
So that just happened. That just happened.
Well, you pulled back.
Well, because I realized I started a Sheldon. I mean, it's hard not to do. Sheldon was so iconic. That like his voice is, I mean, he really was doing a character. He was really dialing it up, that character.
Yeah, it is. It's true. It's like him dialed up.
It must have been so fun to do. I would love to do a character like that.
12 years is a long time, though.
It is, but I'm telling you, we've been talking about it.
They're not, it's...
It's such a great schedule.
It's light lifting, isn't it?
For people...
Why did you pause and look at me? So because why'd you shift your weight in your chair? There it is. Okay.
All right. Now that it's out, we can move on with the show. That's disrespectful.
I'm so relieved.
So am I.
It has nothing to do with Jim Parsons, so by the way. What just happened in your body has nothing to do with your feelings about our esteemed guest.
No. If anything, it's my relief is compounded by the fact that I can now talk about our esteemed guest in comfort.
Okay.
Without kind of that buildup.
I like that guy.
I know.
Doesn't he?
Me too.
He's such a sweet.
Yes.
Like, you know what it is? I realize I know a lot of people. Like, we grew up around a lot of theater people. Yep. Like, around a lot of people who kind of remind me of him.
Yes.
And so during our formative years, we had a lot of experience with that personality type.
That's true.
That kind of, like, sensitive, mm-hmm. gentle, funny, like, theatrical.
Who was the guy in Mom's Workshop?
Dan Kelly.
Dan Kelly,
there's we knew guys like him.
Totally.
And I feel like they're kind of my people, you know. Yes. I feel most comfortable with
people. You're about like to feel most comfortable with theater males, theatrical men.
So I really like him.
Yeah, me too.
And he seems so like, but he's down to earth.
Exactly. Well, which is, I mean, the problem with theater men is that everyone, I mean, mixed in with theater men, some of them can be kind of phony and performative, and you know, everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Of course,
I wasn't saying that about Dan Kelly or the people that we're missing from our past. But Jim is just such a present. It just seems like he does it for, as they say on The Bachelor, the right reasons, and he's not kind of compelled by his ego. He just seems like a very like level-headed young man.
Well, you know what may have led to that? I think you may have said this. I may be stealing your thought right now, but I think typically when it takes someone a long time, relatively speaking, to gain that level of success, that level of stardom, they tend to be a little bit more down to earth and even keel than someone who like shot up to stardom exactly. when they were like a teenager or something. They never experienced like real struggle.
The struggle, the friend.
Jim Parsons was not, I'm not saying he was struggling necessarily, but he was like a theater actor for years and years and like did a bunch of pilots that didn't get picked up.
But I still think it's not just that, because I think with the narcissists, the ones who already are narcissists, that when they make it, when they find that success a little bit later, there's this, and I know people like this, there's a sense of finally, and there's a chip on their shoulder and some cynicism because it didn't happen sooner. And like, it's about time it's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, this is my destiny. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm meant to be celebrated. But so Jim, I'm sure to begin with, didn't possess that kind of ego. But I think you're also right that like it had that level of success, because you're also talking about like the 1% of the 1%. It's not just like a working actor. It's somebody who is maybe the highest paid, I think. I think it's the highest paid.
In history. On TV.
Which is like, which it doesn't mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's a great actor, but it means that he's celebrated. And to do a part like that so well on a show like that, I think you have to be a great actor. I mean, it's just like, and then of course he went on to win all these awards, and he went on to showcase his abilities in plays. And I mean, what's that great?
Boys in the Band.
I mean,
A Normal Heart.
Yes. Yeah.
He's done so much great work.
He's an incredible actor.
But he also seems very down to earth despite all of that huge success, I think. And I think probably part of it is, it sounds like he comes from a very loving family. It was really moving how he talked about his dad and how his dad supported him so much. Even though they didn't, I always find those stories so touching when like a father and son don't really have much in common and they have a difficult time connecting, but there's still so much love there because they just like accept each other for who they are.
Yeah.
Like that to me is like the ultimate kind of loving, you know,
because
you can't force your hobbies on, you know, that's like either have stuff in common or you don't, but loving and like supporting someone regardless,
it like transcends interests, and it transcends like, you know, the amount of topics you can cover in a conversation. Mm-hmm. It really is like, you're right. It's beautiful. And I love the way he talked about remembering him, and that it was, he didn't need to, you know, he was talking about those mediums that he went to.
I love that he has that relationship with his dad, because it's something that, I wish I will have in the future, you know, that like being able to access, you know, the memories like that and like make it feel present still.
Yeah. And he didn't seem to question it really at all. It wasn't like, I wonder what I would be like if I would be just wanting, I mean, I imagine you want answers, or I guess that's why people seek out mediums.
He has a sense of peace and like confidence when it comes to that, that like world, you know, that
relationship.
He's very
convicted about a lot of things. I think that's also what makes him a good actor. You know, I think that character, not to keep going back to his, but it's, he's playing a guy who himself is so utterly convicted about things. And that's the way, things that are so different than other people's points of view, which is what made him funny. He was like, when he did things socially, you know, they were weird, but they weren't weird to him. He wasn't playing it like they were weird. He was very, well, this is how I do it. This is how it's done. And like, you know, he didn't, he wasn't very as vulnerable as you might think a character like that would be.
If
that makes sense. I think that, and to play that again is very difficult. You have to, you know what it is, and I know it keeps coming up. We talk about it. You have to really commit. It's He really commits to that.
Yes, he does.
That part. Who cares?
No, I care. Yeah. I think listeners care. You know what I do care about?
What?
Is that his favorite ice cream flavor is vanilla.
Yes.
And
convicted about it.
It's convicted right away. Yep. You know, vanilla.
Yeah, vanilla bean.
And it's
he didn't say bean.
It's he may as well have.
Yeah, yes.
It's smart because he's right. It goes with everything. It's such a great compliment to so many other things. So it's not like, it's such a smart answer.
I know.
It's
really
a smart choice.
I had been thinking, so maybe because of Jim, I'd been thinking about vanilla and be like pure vanilla. Recently, that's a funny quote. You just hear that out of context. That can sound very insulting. that because at gym I was thinking about vanilla.
Like, just like so boring, just boring, like generic.
Yeah, but I don't mean that at all. And then Kate whipped a whipped cream. She made her own whipped cream.
A little whippy?
A little whippy.
Wow.
And it was the...
Oh, I tried it. It's delicious.
Isn't it incredible? Yeah. But used vanilla bean. Was it like real vanilla bean, which is weirdly expensive.
I have a great...
vanilla bean guy? You got a vanilla
guy? No, I have a great recipe for stewed prunes. And one of the okay, ingredients...
we've crossed over. We're...
yeah. Like boomers yeah. listening to this are going to be like, oh, who are these old guys yeah. talking?
Who are these geezers?
But no, one of the ingredients in that recipe, it's a delicious recipe,
yeah.
is you have to slice open a actual vanilla bean and scrape out the
That's what
seeds.
She did. You yeah. scrape it out, yeah.
And it really makes a difference.
So with the bean, you don't use the whole, you just use the inside.
And then you put the bean in to cook it up, but you don't,
oh,
you remove
yeah. oh,
the
like
bean.
Like a cinnamon stick.
Yeah, exactly.
You get the flavor.
Exactly.
Like a soup.
Cinnamon
like a
stick is another ingredient in this delicious oh, wow. recipe.
Wait, so Wes, why do you like stewed prunes?
Well, I was
so...
making them for someone we know.
Oh, yes.
Because
yeah.
they were in need of
and
them.
That was so nice of you.
I don't want to elaborate yeah. too much on that
yeah.
for personal reasons, but...
Sheldon Adelson.
But they also, they go beautifully with vanilla ice cream.
Wow.
The stewed prunes and vanilla
ice cream. I've never been a prune. I remember.
This, I'm telling you, really? This will change. Yep, it'll change your mind. You will like these.
Huh.
Yep.
All right. Well.
Anyway, that's been boomers eating dessert.
Geezers. Anyway.
And fruity
geezers.
Pebbles. And fruity pebbles.
I bet Sheldon, the character, would have liked that anecdote.
Yeah, he would have loved it. I don't know about young Sheldon, though.
No, yeah.
And I love how he's like maybe willing to do old Sheldon in 30 years. He's like, it totally depends.
I would miss doing that character. It seems so fun to do that character.
And like if you want some extra pocket money.
Yes. And you work on your time. His timing was so good. It's fun to do.
So like, good.
Getting to do that. And the scripts were good. I mean, like Chuck Lorre, let's face it. You
know, say what you, say want, you about want about Chuck Lorre. The man can write a sitcom. Let's read a letter.
Okay, good. Okay.
I'm going to go get it.
I'll go get it. Okay, I'll riff for a little while.
Yeah, riff. This is my favorite part of the show.
Yeah. Well, now I'm thinking about Jim Parsons and how fun it would be to do that. And, you know, I wish you were still doing it so I could play his... oh, shoot. You know, while you were gone?
That was pretty
it was just,
sick riffing.
Yeah, it was just arrogant, like, daydreaming.
Yeah. Please, can I have a big part on a TV show?
Okay, this is from Amber G. Subject. Now I got him in my head. I got that Sheldon in my head. Subject, my crush plus would you rather. Hello, Justin and Christian. I'm Amber. I'm reading it like that. Hello, Justin and Christian. I'm Amber G. from Mesa, Arizona. I deliver medications to assisted living facilities and I'm in my car for about 10 hours a day. Oh, my God. She didn't say, oh, my God. I did. I added that. I listen to a lot of audiobooks, but am very picky about the podcasts I listen to. Yours is one of only 4 podcasts I enjoy. That's such a big compliment from somebody who's in a car for
now. What
hours.
Do you think I'm thinking?
What are the other 3?
Yeah.
Yeah. And which one?
I should have just dwelled on.
I know. I do the same thing.
The positive.
You don't both have to dwell on the negative when you get a compliment.
Because it's a very nice thing.
I know. Okay. Back to Amber. Big Amber G. Big fan of your show. Thank you, Amber. I love that there are different segments. It keeps things interesting. My favorite segment is the lightning round, and I find I have similar interests to your guests. Sometimes I pretend I'm a guest on your show, and I give my lightning round answers. I won't bore you with them, obviously. Well, I'm curious now.
That wouldn't bore me.
It wouldn't bore me. Why would that bore us? Why would that be obvious? We ask people those questions. But I do want to say one of my first and current crushes is you.
Nice.
Well, now Amber said well, and I'm saying well, naturally. Well, I almost said Leslie Jordan. Well, shit.
Are you having a hard time taking this compliment?
Of course.
Yes.
You know what, Amber? Thank you. How about that?
Progress.
Thank you, Amber.
Evolution.
That is very kind of you. Back to Amber. Well, .. You and Rob... Okay, here we go. Rob McElhaney. By the way, I'll take that. And then Accepted is one of my favorite movies and have loved you ever since. Ah, very nice. And you are super gorgeous in...
In what?
He's just not that into you.
You are gorgeous, Matt. Amber.
I'm not laughing at you, Amber.
It's hard for you to say that sentence about yourself.
Yes, it is.
Right? Yes, you it like is. It was hard for you to say the word gorgeous about
super
yourself.
Gorgeous. Super gorgeous. Super gorgeous. I've never thought, I mean, thank you. Sometimes I think that about, I'm stunned that Kate is attracted to me. I'm like, how do you, gorgeous, super gorgeous, Amber.
I don't think she thinks you're super gorgeous.
She said.
She's attracted to you.
Kate.
Yeah.
I bet she does. Wait a minute.
You think she thinks you're super gorgeous?
No, well.
I don't. No offense, but I don't think she thinks that.
Wouldn't you gotta have
I think
to?
She finds you attractive.
So she would find people more gorgeous than me.
For sure. I mean, I don't want to put words in her mouth. I can't say for sure.
I don't really want to know. Okay, no more ego boost for you, says Amber. Christian.
Oh, no.
Christian, say something to knock him down a peg.
I will do no such thing, Amber.
Well, you kind of already did.
I guess so, whether I realized it or not.
Back to Amber.
Yeah, your girlfriend does not find you all that attractive. Yes.
But I think you're right. Super gorgeous. I think it was weird if she did. I think she was lying.
Okay.
Back to Amber. My sister-in-law passed away recently. She wasn't officially the sister-in-law title, but I have no siblings of my own, and she made me feel welcome and loved immediately. I'm sorry, Amber. I wanted to give a shout out to her. Her name is Samantha. Samantha. Well, shout out to Samantha. I hope you're listening with our grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? She was such a joy and light in everyone's life that knew her. And I've been listening to your podcast to uplift the sadness. So thank you. That is Amber.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a would you rather. Would you rather be able to time travel back as many times as you want to anywhere and any era, no limits, but every time you return, you are 5 years younger than you were when you left? Huh. 5 years older. Sorry, I misread that. Sorry.
You sure did.
I misread that. I was probably thinking of my fantasy.
Yeah, you read what you wanted to read. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Here's the would you rather. So again, because I think that's funny, we should leave that in. Would you rather be able to time travel back as many times as you want to anywhere and any era, no limits, but every time you return, you are 5 years older than you were when you left. Nothing else in your life changes, only your age. Oh, it's like that M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Shyamalan. Yes.
Or would you rather be able to teleport anywhere in the world that you want at any time, no limits, but every time you arrive at your destination, someone is standing there to give you the hardest nut punch of your life. This is such a good question. This is like one of the best, I think this is one of the best would you rathers we've ever had.
I also haven't heard the term nut punch in a couple decades. And it feels good that it's back in my life.
Yes, it does. Maybe 90s phrases are coming back too.
God willing.
Or would you rather be able to teleport? This is a good one. Teleport anywhere in the world that you want at any time, no limits, but every time you arrive, someone. So I would do.
I know my answer would. You go first.
This is tough for me. I think I would take the nut punch time. I would travel to different parts of the world.
I would too.
Yeah. It would be, because here's why, it would be, I don't want to lose, the big thing is aging, 5 years. It would be too taxing. I would probably just do it once, and I'm older maybe.
That's the thing. It's in both of these options, you don't need, from what I can tell, you don't need to do either of them, right? So you don't need to take the time machine back.
You have the ability to.
You have the ability to. So I probably wouldn't do either. But,
oh, really?
But if I...
Oh, yeah, I'd teleport.
But if I had... Do you value your nuts at all? I don't think you realize what that will feel like.
I just reread hardest nut punch of your life.
Right.
I've had some hard nut punches.
So I probably wouldn't do that, but there's a chance I would do that. There's not a chance
right.
I would,
by the way,
go back and then come back and age 5 years.
Oh, there isn't?
Well, unless...
Oh, you know what? I might change...
There's some... My circumstances in life change radically.
I might change my answer now. I wasn't considering that nut punch enough.
That's
would be
horrible, and you can't
painful.
Wear a cup or anything. You can't protect yourself.
No, I don't imagine you'd be able to in this.
And if you needed to get somewhere, it would be cool to get there instantly. But we, you know, you could fly anywhere.
Hardest nut punch.
You wouldn't need to teleport.
It would be hard to.
I would rather have the inconvenience of flying 20 hours.
This is too graphic.
To get somewhere than have someone punch me in the nuts and get there instantly.
This is maybe too graphic, but you might need to walk through this with me. I don't know if I could receive, like, how are you receiving this nut punch? Is it?
I think it's under. I think it's an uppercut.
Uppercut, because the odds of it hitting both nuts at the same time and causing that kind of damage, I think I just wonder what kind of damage it would do.
It's not worth the risk.
You're right. You're right. I'm thinking about
it
now.
To me.
I'm imagining somebody like, you know, John C. Some Musk, like The Rock.
Any adult.
The middle-aged Rock, not the young Rock.
Yeah.
young Rock punching you.
The pebble.
If young is the show, you know, like Young Sheldon, Young Rock.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Full circle.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, why aren't you coming with me?
Sorry.
But if it's Young Rock punching, how about this? If it's Young Sheldon punching you, then I would take the nut punch.
I wouldn't. I would still travel.
Young Sheldon punching you as hard as he could. I bet he couldn't hit that hard.
He seems like a feisty boy.
Feisty, maybe, but like to real bad. Like Young Rock. I mean, if Young Rock punches you.
Maybe your nuts aren't as sensitive as mine.
Everyone's nuts.
Yeah, well, you just got so incredulous. How dare you?
Do you think there are people who are ASMR fetishes who just like being like haughty noises, like
haughty ASMR?
Yeah,
that's fun.
I would not do. I think I would do the time travel.
I wouldn't want to age unless I was like you said. 90.
That's when I would
and
do
I
it.
Was, you know, and I was kind of ready to be done anyway.
How about this? And missing people.
Yes.
Because toward the end of your life, you're going to want that.
I would say right now, if I had this option, I wouldn't choose the 5-year aging. But I want to reserve the right to maybe pick the first one at a different point in my life. Let me put
how about
way.
This? Would you travel back in time? Would you use that if, forget the aging part, that you just took a nut punch, the hardest nut punch of your life?
To go back in time?
To go back in time. Because I'm combining Amber's.
Oh, good, good. I don't know. That's really hard for me.
I think I would.
I really, the thought of a nut punch is horrible.
But when
me.
You're, see, now I'm thinking selfishly, if I'm lucky enough to have a deathbed, because not everyone, but if I'm on my deathbed, You'll want to take
know,
you'll take a nut
I
punch
know,
then.
I know. I guess so.
Go back in time.
There's not a clear enough specific time I'd want to go back to that I've like, oh my God, I definitely would pick this year for me to pick it.
What if you go back to a significant an event in your life and you're off by like, you miss it by like a second and you have to use the time machine again, take another nut punch. You're like a day late.
What if you go back to a time where you're about to like get into a relationship with someone that you probably shouldn't be in a relationship with, then you go back to the beginning of that and get a nut punch and prevent and prevent you from using your nuts.
I would take a couple nut punches.
Me too, I think.
We've
found some common ground.
That's okay. Isn't that funny? Of all the times in history, I would go back to before I began a relationship I shouldn't have been in.
Nothing against my ex-girlfriends,
of course. No. Most of them. Okay. If you know, you know.
Yes.
Okay. This is back to Amber. Great. Would you rather? She didn't say this. This is me still. I went back to Amber prematurely. Warmest regards, Amber G. Thank you, Amber G, so much. And what a great, that was such a fun would you
I
rather.
I love following up her nut punch with warmest regards.
No. It's by the way, it's right after that line. The way she writes it too. Every time you arrive at your destination, someone is standing there to give you the hardest nut punch of your life. Warmest regards, Amber G.
Thanks again, Amber.
Warmest regards.
Thanks again, Amber. That was a great.
It was.
That was a great
my
letter.
God,
and we're sorry again about your loss.
Yes,
and we're glad that you've been listening to the show.
Yes,
and if you guys would like to write into the show, our email address to do so is lifeisshort@wondery.com. And I was waiting for you to pick up the ball.
Oh, sorry.
You're just playing with your cheek.
Thank you again to our friend. Our friend. He's our friend. He's our friend, future EGOT winner. I was just playing.
You're doing ASMR.
Yes. I was wondering, here's what I was wondering, if people like this.
Oh, this person doesn't. Oof, awful.
But if there must be a channel for that. Anyway, sorry. Okay.
And thanks to our esteemed guest, Jim Parsons.
Yes, and go see his movie. Spoiler alert, it's great.
Go check out the movie. Yeah, it's really well done.
It is really good.
And he's great as always.
Everybody, Sally Field.
Oh,
my
she's amazing.
God. Check it out and all of his great work. And if you happen to turn on the TV, you'll probably be checking him out in The Big Bang Theory because the reruns are on all the time. Nothing wrong with that, Justin. I know. I just want to point it out. Anyway, thank you so much for listening.
Talk to you next week.
Could be a dream. Life could be a dream. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-shaboom.
Life is Short is hosted by me, Justin Long, and it's co-hosted by you,
Christian Long.
And it's also produced by him. It's produced also by Megan Monaco, Katie.
Alan.
Oh, we got a producer. We got Jen Zulkis in the house.
Senior producer is Michelle.
Mish.
Lands.
And audio engineer on this one.
Sergio Enriquez.
He works all the dials. And also working it. He works it.
Executive producer Marshall Louis for Wondery.
Breaking news.
Broken news. We have broken news tonight to report.
We have broken news to report tonight, and it turns out scientists are saying, and DNA specialists, of course, that Jane Doe happens to be many women, multiple women. We've had Dan Rather on the news.
Consequently, no, and in other news, Jane Doe is no relation to John Doe.
Wow. Christian, this news is truly broken. We are going to sign off for now, but we will be at #BrokenNews. You can hashtag or at Broken News.
Broken News, unfit to print.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Life is Short ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments. But business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere. With venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk.
He took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift.
She is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.